welcome to installment 278 of Sefer Mitzvot from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will continue our discussion of Positive Commandment 236, including all of the laws of personal damages, the law of Chevel. As we have explained already, we are repeating now this Positive Commandment 236, since we do Sefer Mitzvot to correspond to the laws which are presently being learned in Mishneh Torah from the Rambam. And now we were learning Hilcha Shechenim, the laws governing relations between neighbors, when one is prohibited from doing certain acts which could cause damage to the other, and therefore we are learning now the laws of damages again, the laws of Chevel. The Rambam quotes the verse from Exodus 21:18, which states, V'chi yiribun anoshim, when people are arguing, V'hika ish es re'ehu, and one strikes the other. And the verses there continue to enumerate different sorts of damages which must be paid, such as medical costs which are incurred, as well as workman's compensation for the work that the person has missed, and so on. There is a more general commandment, a more general verse, which the Rambam quotes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 24:19, which states, Kasher osa, as he did, ken ye osa lay, so too will be done back to him. If one person has caused damage, he is responsible, and you must do something to him to correspond to this. As the Rambam explains, that it does not mean literally you do back to him what he has done to the other, rather you take money from him to compensate for the damage which has been incurred by the suffering party. And even if the damage should be something relatively intangible, such as busha, the person has really been shamed, as the example is given of a person who has had his head shaven, where this is no permanent damage since the hair will grow back. Nevertheless, it is a great shame for the person to have no hair whatsoever, and therefore he must be compensated monetarily for this damage which has been incurred. And in general, all of these forms of damage, the Rambam tells us, are dine knosses, a knas, a fine, which are applied by the sages in order to discourage this form of activity and also to provide compensation for the suffering party. The law covered by this particular positive commandment relates to damages that one person has caused to another. However, there are other forms of fines. When an animal damages another animal, or when an animal damages a person, these are also fines which are applied to the owner of the animal, another form of knas, as we discussed previously under the laws of sher, governing when an animal provides financial responsibility towards its owner for damage that it has done. The Rambam tells us in this commandment, however, a general law applying to the laws of knas, that when can fines be imposed by a Jewish court or by a sage or a rabbi? Only certain people have the authority to apply these fines. It must be a person, or a Beis Din particularly, a Jewish court, of which all of the members have smicha, rabbinic ordination dating back to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, in an uninterrupted chain from Mount Sinai. Today, of course, this chain has been interrupted for hundreds of years, and therefore today none of these fines, which are strictly required by the Torah, none of them can be applied, since there is not a proper court to apply them. Nevertheless, a Jewish court can apply fines on their own as they see fit in order to provide for good relationships within a community, that there should be safety and love of one another as should be in a community. The details of this law are given in the 8th chapter of the Talmudic tractate Baba Kama. The Rambam in his legal code gives many examples of different sorts of damage which could occur. For example, a person could do something in his own property relating to the laws of neighbors, as we discussed at the beginning of today's shir, that this relates to Hilcha Shechenim. A person could do something on his own property which could indirectly come to affect his neighbor's property. Let's say, for example, he will plant a tree, which in time will come to have its roots grow into his neighbor's property. Or let's say the top of the tree will grow into his neighbor's property. We then must look in the Shulchan Aruch and see whether this sort of damage is prohibited by the Torah or whether it's something which is allowed. The roots, for example, could clog up underground activity that his neighbor has, or it could suck away nourishment which that person needs for his trees or for his crops. And so too, placing a hot object or a smoky object on your property could damage the wall that your neighbor has put up, or even his property itself. So too, building an addition to your house, or erecting or taking down a wall which will affect your neighbor's privacy, is also under the purview of this of these commandments. For example, a person could build a balcony which gives him a perfect view into his neighbor's backyard or even to the house. This is also a type of damage, that the person's privacy is something which needs to be protected. And so too, another example which is commonly applied in Jewish law today, that people with different occupations, which could cause discomfort to their neighbors, also have certain restrictions about whether they need the neighbor's permission to go into it. For example, if a person wanted to start a tannery on his property, since the smell would affect his neighbor's comfort, this is something which would be forbidden by the Torah. These are, in a way, the first zoning laws present in the history of the world, where we see that people have a responsibility for the living comfort of their neighbors. Questions have been asked today, as the question was once posed to a Rav, as written up in the Shailos and Tshuvas, that he wanted to open up that his neighbor wanted to open up a medical office in his house. His neighbor was a doctor and lived in his house and now wanted to make his house his office. And this neighbor was complaining because since he would be a doctor, there would be constantly people, a new flow of traffic at all hours of the day and night, and he would try to prevent it. Regardless of the outcome of this particular tshuva, we see that these laws are something which must be settled by Shulchan Aruch, and these laws apply today, and any case where you will do something which could affect your neighbor's comfort is a question for a Rav under this law of Chayvel. As we mentioned, we're learning this law of damages to correspond to the Rambam's laws of damages one neighbor does to another. However, we find that just as one neighbor can cause damage to another, we find in the Torah mention of relation between neighbors on the good side. The one neighbor can affect another in a good way. At the conclusion of the Talmudic tractate Sukkah says, Tev l'tzadik, tev l'shchenei, that there is good to a righteous person, and there is good to his neighbor as well. And the Talmud brings a proof, Shenemar, as it says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 10, Imru tzadik ki tev. We tell a tzaddik how good he has it, ki prima l'aleim yechelu, because he will eat the fruit of his good deeds. What is the proof from this verse that a tzaddik has it good because he eats the fruit of his good deeds? How does this show that the neighbors of a tzaddik also have it good? The commentaries explain that the end of the verse is in plural form. The beginning, Imru tzaddik ki tev, we tell the tzaddik how good he has it, is directed to the tzaddik himself. The end of the verse says, Prima alehem yechelu, the plural form. Literally, they will eat the fruit of their deeds. Therefore, the Talmud points out that since the verse starts off with the tzaddik himself and ends with the plural, who is he referring to? The Talmud is referring to the neighbors of the tzaddik, that just as the tzaddik has it good, so too his neighbors have it good. However, the Lubavitch Rebbe Shlita points out in the Sicha, this doesn't explain why it says ma'alehem, their deeds. We would think that because of the good deeds of the tzaddik, the people around him also get rewarded. But therefore it should say that they will eat the fruit of his deeds. If they are getting extra reward for what the tzaddik has done, then they should get rewarded for his deeds. Why does it say their deeds, meaning the deeds of the neighbors themselves? And the Rebbe explains that this is the effect that a tzaddik has on his surroundings and on his neighbors. That it's not only that from being in proximity to the tzaddik, that the neighbors get rewarded as well, but through being in proximity to the tzaddik, through being his neighbors, they look at him and they learn out from his deeds. And this changes them, that they become different because they are neighbors of the tzaddik. And their presence, their closeness to him is reflected in their own behavior. Prima lehem yecheilu. They will end up eating the fruit of their own good deeds. That since they're in the proximity to a tzaddik, they themselves end up changing, and they behave in imitation and closer to the ways of the tzaddik. And therefore, imru tzaddik kitev, we tell the tzaddik how good he has it, because his deeds have affected all of his surroundings, that everyone else has also become a better person through learning from his deeds. And this is especially fitting for the 24th of Tevis, which is the day of passing of the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya V'Shulchan Aruch, that on the day of a Yahrzeit, when a person passes away, all of his deeds and actions are revealed here in the world. And therefore, his righteousness and all of his acts and all of his revelations as a tzaddik have affected all the people of his generation and every Jew for all generations. That in the revelation of Chassidus, in the revelation of an understanding and closeness of godliness in the world, the Alter Rebbe, through his righteousness, has affected all of his neighbors in his generation and all generations afterward till the coming of Mashiach, that we should be affected by his righteousness, by his tzidkus, and in doing so improve our deeds and hopefully bring forth the ultimate purpose of the revelation of Chassidus. As the Baal Shem Tov was told, that Emosei Kosei Mar Kishiyafutza Maynasecha Chutza, that when will Mashiach come with the spreading out of Chassidus? And the real spreading out of Chassidus began with the Alter Rebbe, and hopefully this which was started with the Alter Rebbe will be finished in our generation with the coming of Mashiach. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.